You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
And the one that I ran over was like sprang up and I was just like, oh man, what happened?
I call that the Rick Bentley defense. Like, yeah. Man, I don't know. It was just like that when I showed up.
What'd you do?
Do you know how many times I've done that?
It's episode 164 of the Simply Human podcast with your hosts, Mark and Rick. Two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and how you can become tainted.
Oh, man, you are not good. You made it 10 seconds.
Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and how you can be more like a human today. Is that it? And how you can live more like a human.
You
today?
Can start more like a human.
Good grief. Yeah. I need to just pull the thing up so bad. I listened to the beginning of the last show, and it was so terrible. Anyway, on today's show, we are having an old friend of the show, Stephen Baldridge, Dr. Stephen Baldridge, from one of the very earliest, it might have been the first ever Humans Being Human story, when he passed out in a hospital he saw the sign that said bone flap exposed, and he had a revenant bear story.
That was before I was your co-host.
Correct.
How about that?
Yes. Well, it's way early on. Okay. So, Rick, how are you?
Good. How do I sound, by the way?
This is show
number one with my fancy actual recording equipment. I have a mixer.
I have exactly what I have, and it's great. It sounds so good.
Well, every time you tell me it sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, but, right. Well, I mean, it sounds good compared to
the show. It's all
relative. You know, it sounds good compared to your cruddy, you know, whatever you had, like in your car. You're like honking at people.
That is true. That was the worst. That was the absolute worst.
I have something I want to talk about before we get to Steven. But remember, this show is now sponsored by Health IQ. It's an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, vegetarians, any sort of intentionally healthy person like you, our listener, and somebody that's trying to get healthier, getting lower rates on their life insurance. If you go to healthiq.com/simplyhuman, that is in the show notes. Support our show and see if you qualify. It's really cool because, and we talked about this sort of more length last show. We won't get into a ton of detail here, but Health IQ uses incredible things like science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health conscious people. 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4% and 33% on their life insurance. So go to the website and see if you qualify to learn more or to get a free quote on your life insurance. We'll talk about it at the end of the show as well.
Yes, we will. And everyone, let's get real. No one wants to talk about life insurance because
it
implies that, like, I'm very clearly worth way more dead than I am alive.
Yeah, right. Well, with you as being a police officer, it's really important because you could die at any moment.
Well, thank you, Mark. I can't wait to get to work tomorrow morning. But, like, you know, I would assume most people here have some sort of, like, probably on student loans or a mortgage or
a gambling, car, a gambling debt.
It's just part of being a responsible.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Okay. Okay. So go to thehealthiq.com/simplyhuman. You can't hear me. Hello? Oh, no.
Yeah, I got you now. Yeah, the internet connection was weird for a second.
Yeah, and I'm hearing this weird delay. I wonder if that's just going to show up. I mean, now you sound great, but the internet now sucks. Great. Great job, internet. Okay, you might have heard this morning. There was a study released by a company in a British.
That's not how you say that.
Somehow in Great British.
Northumbria or Wessex.
London. Let's put another shrimp on the Barbie.
For what?
England. And the study came out and said, like, how old is too old to wear jeans? Did you hear this morning?
I did not. Mark and I, now just for some background, Mark and I listen to the same radio station. He's based in Dallas. We hear a lot of the same things.
Lot,
Mark
yeah.
listens on the internet. But I wanted to hear this, but I got busy and I couldn't hear it. So tell me more.
So basically the study came out and it's like, I don't know if they polled people or what, but the hosts of the show we listened to were all kind of offended that these British people were telling us what to do. They said the age that's too old to wear blue jeans is 53 years old. Thoughts on that?
That is a very scientific...
hey, and
they've really gotten it down to a very specific age, not mid-50s or early 50s.
Right.
They're saying 50. So,
on your 53rd birthday.
On your 53rd birthday, you can't wear jeans anymore, or the day before your 54th birthday?
The day before your 54th birthday is the last day that you can wear jeans. And actually, Jen is in our living room with a friend. They're both very stylish. They're like the same person. Let me ask them. When are you too old to wear jeans? She said never. Jen? Yeah. Never. Okay. When are you too old to wear a hat backwards?
Oh, I was in your rearview mirror, pal.
He said it's in my rearview mirror. What do y'all say on that one? Yeah. George this morning said 9.
Yeah, I'm not a big hat backwards wearer.
I am a backwards hat guy. I know you are.
You're ridiculous, but...
Well, so to me, 53...
The reason I don't wear a backwards hat is because I have a very small head, and it's very difficult for me to find a baseball hat, a baseball cap, a hat with a brim, I guess I'll say.
Yeah.
But I own two of them. I own two hats, a Dallas Mavericks hat and a Minnesota North Stars hat. Both of them fit well, but the problem is, like, they're the adjustable on the back, not like the snapback, but like the little, the threaded thing. And because my head is so small, if I wear it backwards, it looks weird.
Yeah, see, I have a huge head.
Adjusted all the way down, pretty much, and so it's never been part of what I do.
I was always jealous of your small head, Rick.
Why?
Because it's hard to find hats. I have so many hats.
No. It's bad. The small head is bad.
Well, the big head is also bad.
I can't just go hat shopping. Like, that's something that you take for granted very easily. Just going out and saying, you know what? I'd like to go buy a hat today.
Yeah.
For me, it's like a whole thing. And a lot of times I have to go to the kids section to buy a children's sized hat.
A fan blade on the top of the hat.
No, that's I know what you're talking about. A propeller is not a fan blade.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to start my own power generation plant and I have a fan blade on top of my head. No, but it's difficult. That's my struggle. And so I would hope that you would respect that.
When are you too old to wear shorts?
Oh,
any,
I don't wear
any shorts.
We've had this discussion before. I'm not a shorts
not
person.
Cargo part shorts, it, any shorts.
Part of, well, I mean, I'll wear shorts to the gym. Are we talking about that too?
No. Like, just like
out?
In general.
Oh, yeah. I don't do that. No, I don't wear them.
I've gotten away from the shorts.
See, I don't wear shorts because I'm self-conscious about my very tiny chicken leg, my calves. They're very small. So that's one reason I don't wear them. But the other reason is I just feel ridiculous. Yeah. I feel like a goof wearing shorts, like going to the, even in the summertime, like going to the, the baseball game or something with the family. I'll wear, I have like several pairs of like very kind of thin material, like,
like a banana?
Casual pants. Like what? I'm sorry.
What? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What?
What was that?
Can you reissue that joke?
Fruit. It's good for you, humans, health IQ.
Bang, yeah, that's going to be our placeholder now. It's just, that's what she said, health IQ.
Health IQ, yeah.
But I think, I think 28.
Okay.
28 is too old to wear shorts.
Yeah, because I mean, then you've got to have, like, your socks have to be right. Like, with jeans, it doesn't matter what your socks are. Like,
I can put on whatever pair of socks I want to wear with jeans.
They don't even have to match.
Yeah. Not really. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have an interview, so normally we were going to... Oh, and also, coming up next time... Actually, this guy's wife is sitting in here. Next week, Dylan Cobb... Simply Human's own Dylan Cobb is coming on the show to tell a story about a crazy driver.
Why are you whispering?
Well, because I poked my head out of the living room and there's sleeping children. But Dylan's wife is out here, and so Dylan's going to be on next week to talk about. And Dylan is an avid; he loves us very much, and he wishes that y'all were friends, Rick, you and him.
Maybe we can be friends. Maybe he and I can be friends, and he can realize. He doesn't like you that much.
You cut me out of the equation.
Get left out in the cold.
He did suggest a movie for me to watch last night called Cube. It's on Amazon from 1997.
Doesn't sound real.
It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I feel like you should watch the movie this week, and then we can all talk about it next week. Are you kicking me back in here? Okay. Oh, sorry. My wife. Okay, so we got Steven. We're going to call his cell number. Are we going to? I'm going to time travel talk, and we'll be right back. Okay, we did it. We had a tiny little hiccup, but we're good, and we're back. And Rick, Steven is back. Here he is.
Hello, Steven. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, so in the interest of time, because there's a lot to get to here, and I don't want to go too long here because we all have kids and there's things going on. Since Steven has been on the show, Rick, how old were your boys in 2009? The fall of 2009.
Jeez,
not 2000. I'm sorry, not 2009.
2013. So like 5 years ago, they were 4 and 6.
And how old were they when you found out about the pregnancy, as we'll call it?
That would have been 2013, so 5 and 7.
Yeah.
So, is that right? So, yeah.
That sounds about right. So, Rick, he's got boys that are 5 and 7. They find out they're pregnant with twin girls.
Man, that is literally like when you're writing down things that are my nightmare. And I'm like having like multiples, twins, triplets, quadruplets, what have you. That's right up there with Burning Alive.
And like bear movies.
Falling off like the top of the Empire State Building and like having to like dread the drip the whole way down. That's
yeah, there are days that I kind of wish to burn alive.
You should put that in their baby book so that when they
were
there.
Yeah.
When I found out it was you, I wished that I could jump off the Empire State Building instead.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I was very, very sad and very angry, but then I guess I figured out how to deal with it. Love, Dad.
And I guess you're here and reading this. So, Rick, if you'll remember, Steven was an avid triathlete. He we did some races together. We did some marathons together. He had gotten very very healthy. Had started a podcast.
Plant Run Family. Yep. I used to listen to that.
That's right.
Overnights. Yep. I was an avid listener.
Well,
and,
thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate that we had an avid listener.
Yeah. Hey, well, it was me, all right? So you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like when you say that, and then he's like, all right, tell me what was one of the shows about? And you're like, plants.
Family. Also some running talk.
Running talk.
There somewhere.
So I wanted to have Steven on, because Steven, you were recently on the Vinny Tortorich podcast, which is still going strong. Vinny was our first guest on this show, and he was instrumental. He picked the intro music. Is just a great friend of the show.
I was actually on that show. That was the show I was on, the first show.
Yes, our first show. Yeah, like our first real show. It was Steven and Vinny. Yeah, man, that's so crazy.
Bone flap exposed.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that in the intro, and I can't give you any beef about that anymore because of the bear revenant. Incident, which is probably worse.
At least mine was a real
actual.
It wasn't
a injury.
Fake like Hollywood CGI coma.
Shut up, CGI coma. Okay, so Steven has an interesting story because over the last year, Steven and Rick, I don't know if you know any of this. So there is a nonprofit in town in Abilene called Hope Haven, and it is basically like a bridge from homelessness to non-homelessness. Is that pretty much putting it in a nutshell there, Steven?
Hope,
Home. The program is actually called Bridge to Home.
There you go. Yes. How about that? How about that? I listen to stuff.
Actually, I'm aware of this because Steven and I, we are friends on Facebook, okay. And yes. he is one of the people, and I never probably comment on your stuff, Steven, but I read everything you put on cool. Facebook. When you do Linda the Social Worker every year, very thoroughly enjoy that. So
thanks.
I see most of the stuff you're doing, and I am paying attention.
So how this relates to our listeners and kind of our show is not, you know, like there's part of the enjoy life that is like do good for other people. But this is kind of a meshing of emergement of helping people. I can't believe Rick didn't stop me there and say that's not a word.
You just merged two words together that don't belong.
Emergement of helping people and improving your community around you and health because Stephen and his family, his two boys and his two twin girls and his wife, moved into the Hope Haven home and lived there with their neighbors, these people that were on this bridge. And so, Stephen, take it from there and kind of explain what is Mark talking about? How is this bridging health and what's going on?
Yeah, so kind of just to give you the context of what we did. So I've been on the board of Abilene Hope Haven since we came to Abilene in 2009. For a while, I'm kind of an introvert a lot of times. So for a while, I think for like the first 2 years, I was on this board. I never even spoke.
He was like the one person.
I was the youngest board.
They would say all opposed, and Stephen was the only one going, nay.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Mark stole that from The Simpsons, by the way.
I did.
Yeah. See.
But anyway, and so we didn't, you know, I was just kind of there as a board member. The board for the large part was older, a lot of retired people. And so after 4 or 5 years, before I knew it, I was actually the longest tenured board member. I found myself as chair of the board, those sorts of things, but I still never really, I was more invested. It wasn't just like a box I was checking, but I wasn't heavily invested in, like I didn't spend a lot of time in the facility, anything like that. And so a couple of years ago, right as I was ending my board chairmanship, we had to do a director search, and we hired a new director, and he kind of wanted to take us in this new direction. And so long story short, we went into this new direction, and we decided that there were several programs that Hope Haven runs.
Did you say nude erection?
No. That's different.
Exactly
that's a different,
what he said, Mark. Yeah. You nailed it.
Yeah. That's a different 501(c). So.
That's fine.
I couldn't resist.
No, that's all right. So we're going in a new direction. And so John, basically, you know, he's an ex-minister. So he kept talking about we wanted to offer radical hospitality to our neighbors. And so basically what Hope Haven was, it's an emergency homeless shelter. The way most homeless shelters run are almost kind of like a prison. They're heavily regulated. There's lots of rules. And ours wasn't any different. You know, you had to turn your phone in when you got there. You had to be out of the kitchen by 6:30 p.m. You couldn't live there with kids who were over the age of 10. Very restrictive. And because of that, we weren't ever full.
You couldn't live there.
It sounds like home, by the way.
Yeah.
No,
out of the kitchen by 6:30. No kids. You know, that's sounds opposite of home.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of programs still are run. But John, the new director, didn't want to do that anymore. And so he and I started rewriting the policy manual. I have some experience in policy. I'm a social worker by trade. And so so we rewrote the policy. And John's last step, as we were looking to reopen this shelter, he said, I want to do something different. I don't want to have all these rules. I don't want to have hourly staff that kind of looks over people. I want to have somebody to move in and experience life with these folks that are experiencing homelessness. And I want someone to be create some intentional community, somebody just to live here that's invested, that doesn't need to, you know, someone that's not like a prison guard. So basically, I said, I thought that was a great idea. Where are we going to find the poor schmuck to do this?
Yeah. Who in the world would ever want to do that?
Yeah. So a month later, we were the poor schmucks that were doing it. I got four kids. So it's me and my wife, four kids, and we have a dog. And so we just, through a long story, we decided that this needed to be us. We had bought some land, several acres outside of town. We were going to build a house, and
I had been out there to help you mark the land in my Jeep, which I sold.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. And we've sold the land since then, too. So anyway, but that was our plan. We had sold our house, and then we were going to move into a rent house. Well, through a series of events, we just decided this is something our family needed to do. This was something we thought would be good for us, be good for our kids. It was a way that we could serve, and it was just a way that we felt like we could really kind of grow as a family. So last November, right after Thanksgiving, we moved in. And so the shelter, before I kind of get into it, the shelter's set up almost like a dorm would be. It's a long hall with a community living room, community kitchen, community laundry room, playroom, and then a series of what we call apartments, but really all they are is bedrooms and bathrooms. And so,
Rick, it was set up a lot like the dorm room that you took a dump in the closet. a lot like that dorm.
If anyone remember that story, but yeah, I'm very familiar with the closet area of the dorm room.
Yes, unfortunately, we don't even have closets there, so that was something we had to get used to. So anyway, So we moved in. You know, everyone thought we were, you know, a lot of people thought we were insane. You know,
I'm not gonna lie. When I saw this, I was like, you know, this is a really, really good thing they're doing, but it is also crazy. Yeah. That is. See, and they're better than I am because I would not be able to do that. Yep. I would not even think of that.
Yeah, so that's how we ended up there. So.
How long were you guys there for?
We were there just shy of a year. So we moved out. We moved out in October, and so we were there just a couple of weeks shy of a year.
So Steven, how did that year, what happened is you're doing this amazing thing for your fellow man and for your neighbors, love your neighbor, and that's like you're living that out. How did that affect your physical health, and why?
It was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster for lots of different reasons. So when we moved in, Mark kind of alluded to the fact that we liked to be really active. Like a lot of people, my health has been a roller coaster my entire life, but I really thought I'd had it figured out for a while. You know, the week before or the week after we found out we were pregnant with the twins, we didn't even know it was twins. We just found out we were pregnant, which was a little bit of a surprise.
Which is bad news as it is.
Yeah. So the week after, I ran a half Ironman. And so that was like the best shape I thought I'd ever be in. And I'm like, oh, I'm never going to be out of this shape. I'm always going to be this lean.
This,
you know,
this is
never
the mind. New Steven. Yeah, forever.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that you're training 20 hours a week for that. And then when you stop, you know, you don't maintain that kind of fitness. not that that's a level of necessity. Fitness,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, and so, you know, the weight kind of crept up a little bit after that. But I was vegetarian for the better part of 5 years, vegan for a decent part of that.
Same. We overlapped, Rick, but the same time that I was doing all that. We were all kind of making the same crazy bean stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah. You made me this way.
I blame Mark.
Yeah. But even when we moved in, you know, we thought, well, we'll keep eating the way that we're eating. We are pretty snobby with our food. We like to do organic. We like to go local when we can, you know, buying food from a CSA. Drinking kombucha, that sort of stuff. I mean, making our own kombucha, which is kind of a funny story about that there, which I can tell in a little bit. But anyway, so the first night we were there with neighbors, you know, we had just moved this couple in, and she asked if she could cook dinner for the people that were there. And we said, yeah. So she came and knocked on our door, and she had a plate of hot, freshly fried pork chops that she had fried in Crisco.
Like, I'm sorry, does this have gluten in it?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have like an ingredients list that I can? Oh, yeah, and I don't try not to eat that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like, hey, is this, this is partially hydrogenated. We don't do that.
Those are conversations
you can have. And so Holly and I kind of looked at each other and we're like, well, I guess we're going to eat some pork chops.
Was this the end of you being a vegetarian? Was this your next foray into meat was a fried pork?
We had had some for a little while before that. We had kind of gone back and forth. Even when we were eating it, we were only eating maybe once a week, if that.
And I will say that you were eating like really, really high quality animal products.
Yes.
Yeah, cows that were allowed to be cows, the things we talk about on the show. Yeah.
You're not getting like two Big Macs and then like just pressing them together into form one Mega Mac.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I threw away the bun, so it's, you know. Yeah.
Oh, that's helpful.
And so we ate those pork chops. So we kind of, Holly and I talked, Holly, my wife, and we talked, and we're like, well, we're gonna have to make some sacrifices here. But we'll still, you know, we'll provide our own meat if we're going to eat meat. We'll bring our own stuff in. Well, a couple weeks later, we're having a cookout, and I'm out there cooking, and we have our black bean burgers and some other stuff, and then everybody else's burgers. So we go in the kitchen. And, you know, there's like 18 other people there. And so I had to have this is y'all's food, and this is our food. And it did not feel good to say that. Yeah. And so Holly and I decided, well, as long as we're in this, we're going to have the realization that our health is not going to be what we want it to be. And there can't be an us and them in this. If we were going to go full fledged into this, it had to be just us. And that meant, you know, we go to the food bank and that's where we get food for the shelter. And so that means a lot of times we're eating food bank food. And then the other stuff that we had to eat, it's basically like eating on a food stamp diet. And so there was a lot of times we would make the choice either to eat that or we would have to go out to a restaurant. And that's not a great way to eat. If you're either eating low quality food, you know, heavily processed, that sort of stuff, or restaurant food, that's not going to really translate well to positive health outcomes.
Yeah, so it's like this collision of, you've got these standards of these nutrition and health standards with this like loving people, and how do you deal with the collateral debris of these two things kind of colliding, which is basically what you've been dealing with for 12 months.
You know, there was times where we would try to. There was times where we would have conversations with some of our neighbors about, you know, this is why, because everyone kind of knew that we were different kind of eaters, even though we were eating a lot of the same stuff they were. And so we would kind of have conversations with them about it, but it is a world that is so far out of their understanding. You know, when you're in, like most of them, you know, grew up in poverty or grew up in situations and where they didn't have the luxury to really say, I am only going to eat local grass-fed beef, or I'm only going to eat free-range chicken. And so if we're saying, you know, we like high quality meals, their interpretation of a high quality meal is a meal. You know,
a meal
if you're
fills
you're,
your belly.
Right. Yeah, yeah. If you're able to eat. So, you know, they're in the whole world of getting the most calories you can for the least amount of money, where I am kind of in the opposite world of that, you know, spending as much money as I can, or as not as I can, spending as much money as I feel like I need to in order to get the kind of meal that I feel is beneficial for us. So anyway,
and Steven, hold on, not to derail you, because I don't want to go off on this tangent, but I will say, like, to Rick, like, Steven has this really like cool practice that he does with one of his classes, where he's like, all right, here is the amount of money that food stamps are. Go feed a family of five. Go to Walmart and feed a family of five, and like, and you start. That's when you really kind of hits home. Like,
eat ramen noodles.
Yeah,
we're eating.
I'm not going to Whole Foods. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. For. I do want to touch on this when you're done with this, but yeah, we'll talk more about that in a sec. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, to answer your first question from like an hour ago, how I am, we came out of there, I weighed almost 30 pounds more than when I went in a year before.
Goodness.
One year. And there's I hadn't put on that kind of weight from college. And there's several different reasons for that. The main one is eating, I think, paired with stress and lack of sleep.
Because the middle of the night, Rick, you get people come down that need something or whatever, and you're like the dorm director, you know, for lack of a better
you're
term.
Yeah, point of contact. Someone shows up, and you know, I can imagine that could be very stressful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, one of the stories that I tell is kind of funny. Is we had some people that were literally our neighbors there. We shared a wall with them on the other side. We love them to death. We're still friends with them. You know, two 22, 23 year olds, you know, just trying to get their life together after some tragic circumstance as well. She worked at a fast food place. And I had said to her one time when we were talking, I said, you know, I love jalapeno poppers. those are some of the first things that Holly and I ever got on a date in college was some jalapeno poppers from her drive-in, not her specifically, but that restaurant chain. And I said how much I love them. Well, later that night, she knocks on my door at 1 a.m.
She brings you 500,000 jalapeno
she
poppers.
She brought me a bag of jalapeno poppers. And that's she had bought with her money after a shift, and I'm like, how in the world do I not eat these?
Right, and like you can't open the door and go, hey, it's 1 o'clock. Yeah. I've got kids here. This person is doing this gesture. It's like reaching out and trying to connect with another human. You've got to – you can't shut that down if you're like a good person.
Well, and just think about like what that meant to her, not just, hey, I want to do something nice for this guy, but like – I don't know. It sounds like these people probably don't have a lot of disposable income, and she's going to spend just any fraction of that on
it's
you.
It's a huge sacrifice.
In all reality, you don't need it, but she still wants to do something nice for you. Like, you can't turn that down.
Yeah. And that's something that we noticed about this population. You know, a lot of times, a lot of these people that ended up in the shelter together, and some of the times people would be there for as few as 2 or 3 weeks. Some people were there for several months, but a lot of them knew each other. Just from being in and out of Salvation Army together, you know, being on the streets and seeing each other in tent city, stuff like that. But the way that they kind of band together and take care of each other is not like any kind of community that I've ever really lived in. I mean, you know, when I live,
what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So I used to live next to Mark more or less. And so, you know, you'd call each other and you need a cup of sugar. I'd go and, you know, go do that cup of sugar. This is like the '50s, you know, go over there. But this community, it's, you know, when you're in a situation where you're kind of in survival mode all the time, they all band together and help each other. So a lot of times we had a lot of our neighbors in and out of the hospital, in and out of ICU for different reasons. As you might imagine, lots of type 2 diabetes complications, lots of heart disease, COPD, all those sorts of things. But a lot of times, you know, one of them would go to the hospital and two or three of them would go and they would literally stay in the hospital room for a week with them until they got out so they wouldn't be alone because they don't have family. They don't have anything like that. They would, you know, sell something that they had in order to get enough money to buy someone a bus pass. And so they really, I mean, things that seem so foreign to me who's never really had to rely on a neighbor. I mean, I've asked for neighbors for favors or family for favors or stuff like that, but I've never had to actually rely on someone for actual survival, for food, for transportation and medical appointments. I've never had to have a neighbor come visit me in the hospital because I didn't have any family to do that. So that's something that we didn't really expect to learn from those folks. But that's, you know, and the fact that they kind of took us into that community was very humbling. And so all of it, you know, it was a fantastic experience. And it's an experience that I have a hard time wrapping my brain around it. And I have a hard time talking about what all it meant for us is crazy difficult as it was. It's an experience that I think was awesome. But again, it's an experience where I didn't realize how stressed I was, how chronically stressed I was, and how just completely exhausted I was until I've been out of it now for a couple of months and look back on it and kind of am trying to still get my brain around and pick the pieces up of, you know, what's left of my life after this.
For the year that you were there, what did your movement pattern, your movement habits, what did those look like?
Oh, I walked up and down the hall a lot.
about it?
You know, I will. I tried to get back out and run some. I would go to the gym a little bit and work out. I found myself, I got injured easier. I landed on my head doing a handstand push-up in May, which knocked me out of the gym for about 4 months.
Yeah, don't do that.
But I think just the added weight and just the stress and the inflammation and everything, just it was hard for me to get any kind of regular gym routine. It was hard for me to ever really just take care of myself the way I knew I should. You know, with four kids plus that, it was just really difficult.
Yeah. So we have the four pillars of the Simply Human lifestyle. We have move like a human, eat like a human, sleep like a human, and enjoy life like a human. And I'm not saying it wasn't enjoyable because it sounds like this is a very, very deep and meaningful experience for you and your family. But as it relates to stress, so for a year, you basically weren't able to take care of those four pillars that were important to you beforehand. And the result is that you felt worse and you put on a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, and I think the greater point here is, and why I wanted to have Steven on, is that sometimes that enjoy life isn't about your stress management and about your enjoyment. Right. It's about what you can do to improve that part of somebody else's enjoy life. Absolutely. Pillar. And I think sometimes
another thing, Steven, that you hit on real quick is the paradox of poverty. And that makes it sound like I just read a book. I just made that phrase up.
But, well, we all know that books are for prisoners, Rick. So
you have people who don't have the resources to purchase healthy food choices. They are having to scrape through on the bottom of the barrel type stuff. But that's going to lead them to more disease and more sickness and more doctor trips, hospital trips. For something they don't have money for ever, right. Like in the first place.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I deal with a lot of, it's not nearly as intense as you are, but I deal with a lot of families that are kind of low on resources, yeah. Monetarily wise. And it's a cycle that I think those of us in, middle class, I guess I am, society kind of don't think about if you've never had to be through. Because I'm fortunate. I've never had to, except, the first couple of years out of college, but that's how everybody is.
Well,
you make barely any money and you eat ramen noodles, but I've never had to live that life before, and we take it for granted for sure.
Well, Rick's butler never grew up on an organic farm, so Rick's butler has a really kind of a good handle on where to source these things.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
that joke. No, back to the drawing board with that one, Mark. Back and formulate that.
Dang it.
I mean, so like we would go and make and do big pickups from the food bank. So the food bank provides, most food banks provide food for individual families, but they would also supply food for nonprofits and organizations like us. And so we would go to the food bank and, get things at a drastically discounted price. But then there was always like the free shopping. And so when I would go, they would always say, "Do you want to do some shopping while we're here?" We'd always say yes. And so there's this long case of things that are free. Every once in a while, you'll be able to get a gallon of milk or some, 2-day-old bread. But the vast majority of the things that were free were birthday cakes with somebody's name spelled wrong on them that a grocery store donated, or donuts, or tortillas. It was all processed.
Yeah. Sugar, cookies that were meant for Santa, but they misspelled it. Said Satan. So,
Oh
my god! So I laughed.
We would eat those. But yeah. I mean, to your point, Rick, it's a lot of times, and I'm not gonna. I could rant about this forever.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we kind of look at people that are overweight and we make it this issue of personal responsibility. And we say, you're fat because you're eating too much. You're not moving enough.
You don't have any willpower. You're lazy. All that.
Yeah.
Lazy. You're fat because you're dumb. And that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And we look at, there's a statistic that the single biggest indicator the single biggest predictor of obesity in this country is income level. And so you look at that, and a lot of people will see somebody that's skinny and malnourished and somebody is overweight, and they'll think that those are polar opposites, when in actuality, they can be next door neighbors.
Right.
Both of those are indicators of a lack of command of the nutrients you need to maintain a healthy weight and a healthy lifestyle. And so a lot of times we'll look at someone that's malnourished and we'll say, of course, that's not their fault. They're malnourished because they don't have enough food. When actuality, that is correct. But there are a few people that are probably malnourished because of their own choices.
Yeah.
Now, those people are going to be much fewer and far between. When on the other hand, we don't have that look at people that are obese at all. We look at somebody that's obese and we don't say, oh, well, that's not their fault. They're fat because they're eating too much.
Yeah.
When in actuality, it's very similar. A lot of people that are overweight, especially people that are in poverty, which are a large number of people in this country, they're that way because that's all that their $1.13 a meal for food stamps will pay for. If you got $1.15 and you're going to try to feed yourself, are you going to buy a head of broccoli with no seasoning or anything like that and eat that? Or are you going to buy
a box of cereal? Yeah.
A loaf of bread and a jar of mayonnaise to make mayonnaise sandwiches. I know kids who eat that regularly.
Yeah. And while that's not a life that we really had to live, we ate that way because of our own choices. We're blessed enough, we're privileged enough to be able to buy pretty much the food we want to eat. But it was, I'm sitting here looking at in the mirror. It's a stark reminder of, at least I have a way out of that now.
Yeah. And a lot of those people don't. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's no end to that. I mean, the words diet never came out of these people's mouth. There was one guy I was talking to who had just, I mean, the life that he has had, when you see that he is, you know, struggling with addiction, and then he tells you his story, you're like, well, of course you're struggling with addiction.
There's 19 other things, like, ahead of, like, yeah, what I'm eating.
When your dad, you know, this guy's dad, the first line of dope this guy ever did was 12, when he was watching football with his dad, and his dad told him not to be a little blank, and real men do dope, and so he started doing dope with his dad at 12.
That's why mentoring is so important to our society.
If you need a mentor, there's probably agencies out there that would help you
do that. We'll talk more about that.
Only I knew of one around
here. Yeah. But anyway, so this guy was talking, and you know, he saw the way I was trying to eat at one point, because I was like, I got to lose weight. And he's sitting there smoking a cigarette, and he goes, well, he goes, I'm dealing with one thing at a time, and right now I'm trying to kick meth. He goes, I'll worry about cigarettes next. If I ever get those under control, then I'll worry about what I eat.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the reality. But
I'm like, who can blame you?
Yeah, and it's like the that kind of other paradox is like, you know, 1,000 years ago, all the rich people were fat and the poor people were skinny, and now it's like the opposite in a lot of cases.
Yeah, yeah.
But well, hey Stephen, we need to wrap. But tell everybody Hope Haven, where can they find online if somebody wants to make a donation to Hope Haven? Talk about all that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to check out what it is, it's AbilineHopeHaven.org. We have several different programs outside of the emergency shelter. We are a housing first based program. If you don't know what Housing First is, just go to YouTube, type in Housing First. There's about a 3-minute animated video there that will open your eyes to that. And so Hope Haven is literally housing people that are homeless. There's not a whole lot of overhead there, so most of your dollars or resources are actually going to go to help house people that are homeless. So if you're not in Abilene, we'd still love your support, but go find a place that's doing what they're doing in your community. And I mean, we don't have to, this is going to sound very Pollyanna, we don't have to have homelessness. It's not a hard problem to fix if we have enough people that are on the right, that are on the same page. You know, the best way to end homelessness is to provide quality, affordable housing. So if you're a landlord, go out and find a nonprofit that you'd be willing to rent to. This sounds crazy, but people in Housing First programs that are formerly homeless are some of the best renters ever. And you're going to actually be able to work with some of these agencies to make sure that you're getting paid, which a lot of people that are not formerly homeless don't pay their bills. So I'm rambling now, but just go out and make a difference in your community. That's all I can really say.
Stephen, proud of the work.
For sharing all of this, by the way, this has been, I really enjoyed, you know, I enjoy, you know, your stories and stuff like that on Facebook, but this is the first time I've kind of gotten a chance to visit back and forth with you about it. And this is a really cool thing that you guys did. It's a really cool thing you're continuing to do. And it just, I appreciate what you do. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Stephen.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, proud of you and love the work that you and John, the whole board, are doing. And we will, we'll see you soon. All right. I removed Stephen from the group. Awesome. Awesome stuff. So we're going along here. We need to wrap. Go to remember, the show is sponsored by Health IQ, which is a insurance agency that's going to possibly get you very low rates on your life insurance for being a healthy human. So go to healthiq.com/simplyhuman to see if you qualify, to learn more information, get a free quote, people. It is a life insurance.
What do you have to lose?
Nothing to lose. HealthIQ.com/simply
everything to gain.
Just do it for us. Even if you have the best life insurance ever, just try it out. And if they say, here's the rate, and you can say, am I so much better than that? Then it still helps us out.
But hey, you will not say that because our partner, HealthIQ.
Oh, right.
Up. That should be their motto, is we're gonna hook you up.
We're gonna hook you up, dude. All right. So Rick, let's wrap. Next week, we're gonna talk about what did you say you were gonna talk about? Oh, we're gonna talk about some health things that you're doing. We're gonna get a Rick update on some of your strength training. Been very impressed and proud of the strides that you've been making in the weight room. We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna have Dylan on. Thank you for listening. So that's gonna do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember,
they would say all opposed, and Stephen was the only one going,
nay.
So until next time. enjoy yourself.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.